And Rolene Marks, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. It has been quite a week, but very interesting to hear the COVID stats coming in from around the world. And just to update you here from Israel very quickly this morning, our numbers are continuing to hold, which means that we can start lifting more and more restrictions. And Zanati, how about that loud whoop of joy that you may have heard yesterday was news that schools will be returning on Sunday. This is all classes.
Amazing.
I see copious amounts of parents doing victory laps with their masks and social distancing around what he
is. Look, it's got to be very, it's hard for parents. It is hard for parents.
I tell you, my hat's off to teachers and parents around the world. It hasn't been easy, but here in Israel, you've made it through. I think the other day I might have seen, you know, commandos rappelling down the side of a building to take care of children that were getting out of hand because parents have just had it.
And they naughty, hey, you know. I know a kid that was kicked off his Zoom class last week. Listen to this, Anati. A little kid, a little one, a very, very bright little kid. He was kicked off his Zoom class because he changed his name to Hacker.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was scaring the other kids. I mean, then the other thing that kids are doing is they all change their names to reconnecting dot, 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 dot.
Oh, my gosh.
So then the teacher thinks, it's, oh, gosh, no one's online because everybody's reconnecting.
Wow.
They're naughty out there. They are naughty.
They're naughty. But God bless their creativity.
I know. I love it. It makes me
bad. I have thought today, but let's look at Israel's stats today. We are at 16,579 since the start of the global pandemic. Current cases of infection, 3,793. But here are the very, very important stats. And these are the metrics that we are using to measure continuous lifting of restriction. In serious condition, 60 people. On ventilators, 50 people. But And you know, my maths is not good, guys, but I have it at like nearly three times to the amount of infections. Fully recovered, 12,521. Unfortunately, we have, since the start of the pandemic, lost 265 people. But our death rate has gone down. We have had several days where no deaths have been reported. And it's a frightening statistic to have to speak about, but it is the reality of the times that we are currently living in.
Yeah, but Israel certainly making very, very good progress to this. And you know, the one thing that I keep saying is that it'll only be with hindsight that we see who reacted well, what the decisions were that were the right decisions, and what were less so. I really do believe that every country in the world is acting with the best of intentions, but not all of them are going to get it right. I sense that Israel is going to be seen as a phenomenal example, as Anati was saying that earlier, that they didn't listen to the naysayers. They did what they needed to do from the get-go, and it does seem to have worked.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if we had this conversation maybe 2.5 months ago, we were saying Israel's having suffering from paranoia. Are you really being so paranoid?
We spoke about this, and we said, are they, you know, the anxiety? I mean, these are people that have survived wars and all sorts of things, and look how nervous they are around it. We actually did say that, and look at it now.
But I think it's because we have survived wars, and because we are a country that's used to adapting to exceptional circumstances, that we have had the situation that we have. Look, it's not that like Netanyahu didn't put the fear of death into us. He said we could have deaths in the numbers like 10,000 a week or something like that, he said at the very beginning. But we responded at the get-go. Also, one of our success stories, and we don't speak about it enough, is that the military and our security operators, especially the Mossad, were mobilized immediately to get equipment, to look at solutions, to, you know, to train their focus on what we can do to get better ventilators, to test faster, to to test more, to look at where we are with a vaccine. Every country in the world is racing towards that much-needed vaccine. The news coming out of the Defense Ministry the last couple of weeks that we found those four very important antibodies that, while they're not the cure, that they are going a long way to, you know, to taking those necessary steps towards a vaccine. It's also very much the military-centric nature of this country, in that when there is a crisis, we adapt very, very, very quickly. You know, you mentioned we've survived wars, we've survived waves of terror, where immediately we adapt, we know how to react or how not to react. And here we've... you know, we've had a high level of cooperation, except with the exception of a few, but everybody's been cooperating. If you go out now, everybody's wearing their masks, everybody's maintaining that social distancing. Israelis, for the most part, are being unusually cautious when it comes to, should we be going to the mall, should we be going to the gym, and how would we are even standing in queues? I mean, who'd ever thought of that? Israelis are standing in queues. I mean, I never thought it would be possible, but here we go.
Unbelievable. Who would have ever thought? So, you know, Rolene, you've got a lot of things right, and in Israel, but the one thing that you haven't got, I mean, if you don't mind me saying so, is politics is very boring. Can't we make it more interesting? Zanati and I are bored of Israeli politics. Why? Why is it so mind-numbing? Is it the characters?
It has become mind-numbing. I think we all here as well, we're suffering from election fatigue, politics fatigue. Yesterday, the new Knesset was supposed to be sworn in. It wasn't sworn in. That's moved to Sunday. And usually we would be up in arms and everybody would be discussing. Now it's a case of, you know, whatever, guys. Just, you know, get it together when you get it together. We're also bored. We're also fatigued. You know, we've had elections. We've had the sequel. We've had the sequel to the sequel. It's enough already. And I think also we far more focused on bigger issues like the global pandemic, and of course on other important things like the fact that Israeli soccer is coming back at the end of the month.
So that's at least something. But it's look, do you think, Karen wants to know, if they had another election, the fourth one, do you think it would be exciting?
Face palm, honestly.
Yeah, that is a face palm. Karen, really, don't even put it out into the energy. Gosh. Yes.
Karen, it's like, what's it when you call Chucky? What's it, doll?
Yeah. Yes, Chucky.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a Chucky. When you call Chucky and then Chucky appears, don't, Karen. Don't go there, please.
Just.
I think if there was a fourth election, I don't think people would be showing up to vote. We're electioned out, we're politicked out. You know, it's time for something much more exciting, which is why we're all watching Father Howard.
Yeah, just looking for something. But there is something that I thought was actually interesting about Israeli politics, and that is the first Ethiopian immigrant to be selected as an Israeli minister. That I thought is interesting. Tell us about this.
Well, this is a lovely story. It's got a beautiful, beautiful irony. I mean, this is probably the most inflated Knesset that we have seen in a very long time as far as ministers and deputy ministers. But we do have some first. We've got the first two openly gay ministers in the Knesset. We have the first ultra-Orthodox minister. She'll be the Minister of Diaspora Affairs, which is going to be very, very interesting. First female ultra-Orthodox minister. So watch the space, because it's about to get fascinating. I can't wait. I mean, maybe this is where it gets exciting, guys, is to see how she balances the very, very tenuous and strategic relations with the USA, because it's a very, very different diaspora community. But the one I love, and I think it's so beautiful, is that Israel has our first Ethiopian immigrant who is now a cabinet member. We have had Chavre Knesset in the past, but this time we have MK Penina Tamano Shata, from the Blue and White. She is the first Ethiopian-born Israeli cabinet minister, and I love this. She will be the Minister of Aliyah and Integration, or Absorption.
Wow,
and
that is incredible.
Her story, this is what I just love. I mean, it gives me goosebumps. She was born in Ethiopia, and she was taken out of Ethiopia, but only after the family had walked to the Sudan. This is an extraordinary moment in Jewish history, where Ethiopians, to get out of the war-torn country, walked to the Sudan, where they were airlifted to Israel in Operations Moses and Solomon, and she came at the age of 3. But here's where it gets really, really special. One of the deputy commandos that was in charge of Operation Moses was Benny Gantz. And this week, Benny Gantz was the man who tapped her as the Minister of Absorption and Aliyah. I mean, is that not extraordinary?
Unbelievable story, that really, really just, it's phenomenal, because that is the full circle that, that's what do we say, Kibbutz Galiot, and, this is that, it is that story. So, really, really, phenomenal. I don't want to end on this note, but, I did want to ask you, about, somebody trying to interfere with graves of the fallen soldiers.
Well, this is just a story that's unbelievable. This week we lost our first soldier, and please, please, please let be our last soldier this year. First sergeant, first class, Amit Ben Igal, was killed when a Palestinian threw a cinder block from the third story of a building, and he managed to rescue some of his colleagues by shuffling them out of the way. But as he turned his head up to look where it was coming from, he was struck by the cinder block, and he was buried on Tuesday night. And it was reported that there were, we don't know who it was or what the purposes for this were, that there was interference with his grave, that somebody was trying to get into his grave. And the army have now posted Golani soldiers to stand guard at his grave to prevent this kind of activity from happening again. It's, you know, the desecration of a grave. I cannot imagine the heartbreak of his family, and just the sinister motives of anybody who would want to do this at this time, or to anybody.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Just to end on a lighter note.
Yes, Annette.
You know how there's the term oiskazoomed? Would I be correct in saying that Israel is oiske electioned?
Yes.
We're also oiske zoomed, I must be honest. I want to see people.
I'm also desperate for people. But yes, Anati, we're oiske electioned.
Okay.
You've actually conjugated it. You've conjugated it perfectly. Wow. So proud.
Anati has just given me life. I'm telling you.
This to me is such a proud moment. Such a proud moment. Zanati conjugates you.
I'm like a mom here, Zanati.
Absolutely right. And you know, the other thing is, you're also right in that that's a much better note to end the Friday Israel report.
Now
right?
I can go watch Unorthodox without the Yiddish
subtitles. You don't need the subtitles. You're fine. You're absolutely fine. It is 8 o'clock, Radin Mox. Thank you, as always. Fascinating conversation, as we always do tend to have. We'll catch you next week. Have a Shabbat Shalom. It's 8:01.